Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of your Italian-American moment. And I am your very proud host, Frankie D. And as always, we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and connect with us on LinkedIn. Today's episode, which is a small milestone for us because it is our 50th episode. My guest is Vince Chiarelli from the Vince Chiarelli Band. And he also has one of his members of the band, Frank Calvagna, here as well. And I understand that a lot of your motivation and the band and your music is a tribute to your grandfather. And we're going to get into all of that. So, gentlemen, Vince and Frank, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having us.
And you have come here today, and we are in Chicago, and we are taping this at my home away from home, Pasta Fresh in Piazza Italia, 3418 North Harlem Avenue in Chicago. And my guests today have come here today from Rockford, Illinois, because they will be performing tonight in Rosemont. So, gentlemen, like I said, welcome, and you have a band. You're from Rockford, tribute to your grandfather. Tell me about your grandfather and your Italian background.
Sure. So, of course, my name is Vince Chiarelli. I'm named after my grandfather. And my grandfather came to Rockford, to America, in 1955. And he was a musician in Aragona, Sicily, and Palermo. He grew up out there and wanted to get out really bad. After World War II, things were not great. No work, and so went to Rockford.
And that's how he earned a living as a musician?
As a musician and a tailor over there.
So, oh, and a tailor as well.
And a tailor, but just really wanted to get out of Sicily for some reason. I guess it was
rough times,
yeah,
absolutely.
Back then. So
he wasn't the only one.
No, I mean, no. So went to Rockford, and...
Did he have relatives there, or...?
Yeah, so... some cousins, I believe, were the ones that brought him over. And then after he came, his parents and then brothers and sisters, everybody followed over. But he in the mid-50s came over and started performing in Rockford with the Rockford, one of the concert band. He was a saxophone player and a clarinet player. And so started just playing clarinet and saxophone. Didn't speak English, but could read music. So he was in the concert band. And then they said, Vince, why don't you sing? You always say you can sing. And he sang Volare at the Rockford Concert Band at Mississippi Bandshell for the first time in like 61. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, you got a great voice, and why don't you just sing? And he was always embarrassed because that, like Claudio Villa, they would sing with like a falsetto. That was the big thing. They'd sing kind of like a girl or whatever you want to say it. And that's what he thought. He was embarrassed when he came to America. Because no one, Frank Sinatra, they didn't sing with the falsetto. So he always kept it hidden. Then he sang with his real voice, and then he still had a great voice.
So. And then he was he actually a singer more than?
Yeah, then he became more of a singer than just a background guy. Because he actually had a little bit of fame in Italy. A guy named Franco Licausi, who they call him the maestro. He was the master of mandolin, and he wrote some of the music that was in The Godfather. So like Vittina Crozza, which is now a traditional Sicilian song, kind of like Shooty Shooty or those songs like that.
Yes.
He wrote that song. My grandfather was there when it was all happening, and he was my grandfather.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah. And he was his,
he was the singer in Franco Licausi's band. So,
is that right?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
very
that
interesting.
That was kind of the fame behind that. He left that and came over here, did the Italian thing.
Did he start a band when after he started singing? Did he start like his own band? Or?
Yeah, so it took him a little while to find people that, but even till the day he died, it was broken English. It was hard.
He was mostly singing Italian.
Yeah, yeah. So mostly singing Italian weddings. There was still a lot of Rockford's heavy Italian population. But started a band, and at the same time, the Vincerelli Combo back then is what it was called. He'd play all the Italian restaurants, places like this too. And,
very nice.
Be in the corner and singing all that stuff. And
as well as doing his tailor work?
The tailoring, yeah. So that was his day job. He is known as Vince the Tailor. Still to this day, you ask anybody Vince the Tailor, you know.
He was pretty busy.
Yeah, so that he was the guy to go to for tailoring in Rockford. And
I assume he learned that at a very young age.
Yeah, I still have the book. My dad has it. It's great. No electricity where he was living, learning the book is him drawing. You'd have to learn how to make things for like the religious stuff, like with the Vatican there, and all these drawings of like making what the Pope would wear, all those people.
That's awesome.
But like drawing in a room in Sicily with no light.
Great. That's great stuff.
So it's pretty cool how he learned that, brought it here, very successful, owned. Was able to own buildings and real estate and became a landlord and all that type of stuff.
Great story. Great story. Yeah. Now he met his wife here in Rockford.
Yeah, my grandmother, who's still living, Mary, and follows us, our biggest fan, because still loves everything we do. Just figured out how to use Facebook a couple years ago and shares everything we ever post.
Is she Sicilian as well?
Or? Yeah, she's from Palermo, and they did not meet over there.
They met
in Rockford. The families knew each other.
That's beautiful.
Set up a date. That was it.
That's great. Yeah, now, you have been to Italy before?
Yeah, in 2009 I went.
One trip. And what did you think of it?
I was there for a month and it wasn't enough.
Okay. I know you went to Sicily. I'm not even going to ask that.
Out of the month, we spent 3 weeks in Sicily.
Where else did you go?
And then we went to Rome for a week.
Okay, so you got to go to Rome. You know what? That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I always advise people. I would say, go where the family's from and go to Rome. Because you cannot not go to Rome and the Vatican and all. Yeah. And you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't want to leave. I wanted to go to college there.
You actually got to go to the town where your grandfather's from. What did that feel like?
You know, it's cool. It's the guys, I had always heard about some of his friends. And so when I was there, I was like, we got to find these people. And they were still there, going to their houses. I'm talking about my grandfather and walking the streets.
Was he alive when you made this trip?
Yes. He refused to go. He did not. He always said he would go to church every day and he prayed to God, take me out of this country, and if you do, I'll never come back.
And he never went back. Wow.
Everybody else did. My grandmother went a few times, him back, and he was still alive, and I remember going back and showing him the videos. He would love seeing it.
Well, that's great that you got to do that. That's a very good thing. Would you like to go back again?
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
You find the time,
My son's 3 now, so it's probably not the best time. I'd love to go back.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. Okay, so did you always have a love for music? When did you really get involved where you knew, like, I'm going to be doing music?
As long as I can remember, my parents, just from what people tell me, you know, I can...
Well, did they play instruments?
My dad did. My dad was the drummer for my grandfather.
Oh, okay. So he was a professional musician as well.
From 16 years old until my grandfather stopped. So maybe 24 years old, my dad stopped. He was my grandfather's drummer.
So it was always around you. Always. No pressure to go into it.
And my mom's side of the family, you know, they were not professional musicians, but loved music. And I grew up with just Saturday night, Sunday night, going over, the whole family comes over. It's sad that doesn't happen anymore. But 50 people come over and dinner and everybody's singing and dancing. And I grew up with that. And I'd always be the one, throw Vinci up on the chair and I'd be singing Oh Mama and J La Luna and all that stuff. And so as long as I can remember, it was there. You know, growing up, it was always like, at some point you hit high school and it's, all right, now what are you going to do when you grow up? And you know,
I'm still wondering that answer myself, but whatever. Not about me.
Just like my grandfather always said, he was the biggest influence in everything, business, life, everything to me. And he always said, find an insurance policy for your life. And that is education, something you can always fall back on. Because I loved music and you love music, but you never know what's going to happen. Have something you can fall back on. And
intelligent statement.
So I went to college. I got a county degree, got a master's degree, owned a few businesses, some restaurants. I had an accounting firm. But always, I've been doing this with Frank for seven, eight years.
How long have you been? 7, 8 years?
Yeah, together we started in, I think, 2012, the year before my grandfather passed away. He started getting really sick, and I was doing like pop rock music, so like Weezer and stuff like that. We were playing in bars, and I did it for a few years, and it was music, and I loved it, but it wasn't like the motivation to get up and do it. It was just like, okay, we'll go play a bar, and I saw this niche of the Italian stuff in these Italian festivals, and was trying to find someone that was also Italian that knew the stuff, kind of just subconsciously grew up with it, and everyone, my entire life has talked about him, Frank Galvania. He went to school with my dad, and So I've known of him.
Legendary in
their family. Yeah, he's legendary.
Okay. So you do singing, you do vocals.
Vocals and guitar.
And guitar. And what do you play?
I play guitar. And
you play guitar.
Equipment.
Okay, all right. And then typically, I think you had mentioned there's another member. Usually you're in three.
My Uncle Tony.
Oh, your uncle.
So the grandfather we're talking about, his son.
Okay, his son. Oh, that's
brother.
Wonderful. So he plays an instrument.
So it's kind of like a family thing. We consider Frank like part of the family.
Oh, that's extremely nice.
His family is from the same city in Sicily as my family.
Oh, is that right?
They knew each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tight-knit. My grandparents used to talk about his parents. They all knew each other.
Frank, you've been to Italy before?
No, unfortunately.
Why haven't you, Frank?
I don't know. I haven't talked to my wife.
Let me ask you a question. Is that something that you want to do one day?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you answered that way, Frank. I had to ask you to leave this interview.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I always talk about that. I say all of Italian Americans, once in their lifetime, have to go to Italy. Guarantee you're gonna really enjoy it.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm trying to convince my wife when the right time.
All right, well, you get talking with her right after this.
We talk every day.
Yeah.
I've got some younger girls, and, you know.
Yeah, no, it's tough.
No, it's tough. I know.
Such
and even, you know, the dinners you were talking about, not to go back, but, like, I was thinking of something. It is a shame, but it's like, I don't know why life is so busy now compared to then, because it's still 24 hours. It's still 60 minutes in an hour.
You know,
but it's just, everybody's just so busy.
It's strange. I can't, you know, we used to like be out on the porch or in the backyard with 50 Italians, all just eating pasta and everybody singing loudly. And like no one ever thought, what are the Americani, the neighbors next door thinking?
Yeah.
But now I can't imagine going on my porch and singing Italian songs out loud. I'd be totally like, oh my God, we got to keep it.
Now
it's different, you know.
It is different, but I think the time element, it's a shame, because I think most of us, the world, we spend so much time wasting time, and I think a lot of it is technology driven. It's just where everybody's looking in their phone.
Yeah.
They're looking in their phone and they're looking at something instead of living.
And it's the, you know, unfortunately, the older our grandparents and aunts and uncles that age, they're not around anymore. And, you know, it's up to even my age. I'm 29. It's up to us to keep it going.
Well, you know what you can do? You can influence your children.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I keep it around. He's, you know, he's listening to. Now, it's kind of embarrassing, but he's got Falafi P because he's 3 years old, like from the 70s, from Italy.
Oh, that's great.
When I grew up listening to it. I'm bringing that in there with him because he's got a. You got to immerse them young, because that's the reason I can speak Italian, and I don't sound like I have a dialect, because I grew up with it always in my ear. You know, there's only a 4-year difference between me and my sister, and she didn't have it, but I did, and you can see this.
She's younger, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's different, where she, you know, she doesn't sound Italian when she speaks Italian, no offense, but like me, it comes out like I was there.
Right, absolutely.
So there is a big difference, so I want to immerse my son.
Absolutely,
yeah.
You have to do that, yes.
Yeah.
So I saw a video about your grandfather, and one thing I really didn't quite understand. He had some kind of connections in Nashville and Motown. And I really was just like, I can't wait to ask Vince, what's that all about? Because I didn't get it. So tell me about that.
He was a great businessman. He had a 6th grade education, but was a go-getter, just like me, just in everything.
It was a great era for producing people. You know why,
and
too? They were hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
They were hungry to succeed.
That's the word. He came from nothing. And
absolutely.
He was driven to do anything. And he would just, you know, it started with Chicago, actually. He'd come to Chicago, and he became partners with one of the, you know, most popular publishers of the day, Bud Brandom, who owned the song Night Train and Pretend, some of the biggest hits. My grandfather just walking up and down Michigan Avenue, a nobody, with his songs, and just, I'm going to go in every publisher office.
Really? He just knocked on doors?
That's it. And he found Bud Brandom. Bud was Italian. His real last name was Vincent, Bud Vincent. And you know, he took my grandfather under his wing and loved the guy. And my grandfather just said, you know, if I can do it with him, I'm going to go where everybody else is going. And in the mid-60s, late-60s, it was Nashville. And country music was huge. And so he didn't record in Rockford or Chicago. He took money. He didn't care how much it cost. He drove down to Nashville, recorded at all the top studios with everybody
else. That's insane.
Else.
I got to be honest. That,
yeah,
that's just insane, because, I mean, like, just even me, I'm 53, and growing up in Chicago, and it's like, country music like didn't even like exist to us. No, like, no, exactly. What the hell is country music?
You know, when we play at festivals, I tell the story all the time. But he hated country music. He just didn't get it, which you would understand. A guy that barely speaks English and he doesn't understand this stuff. And
I don't understand it. I'm from here.
But he also was a businessman and saw money and where the money was being made. And he'd go to Nashville and he saw all these guys just getting rich. And he changed his name to the Italian Country Boy and started writing country music.
Wow. And, very shrewd. I love it.
So he tried it out and he wrote a song called Yesterday's Kisses, which he wrote as a joke. If you're a musician or know anything about music, there's quarter notes, half notes, whole notes. A whole note is just a big circle.
Okay, I'm not a musician,
so it's just four counts.
Okay.
So he wrote an entire song with whole notes. You just keep holding it out. He's like, I'm going to just write this as a joke, and I'm going to write a whole song. He called it Eggs, because he couldn't say whole note. He'd say an egg, because it was just a...
Oh, I see. Okay.
And he wrote it. Somebody picked it up. And it became the biggest hit he ever had. Made the most money he ever made on that song.
He performed it?
No.
Oh, he didn't perform it, but he wrote it.
He would go out with these country songs and try to have the Nashville artists do it. And he got it picked up. A group called the Town and Country Singers. They were the backing group for the Hee Haw Show.
All right. Remember the Hee Haw Show.
Performed it on the Hee Haw Show. The next day, my grandfather was getting calls at Vince the Tailor. And Vincent Records and the publishing company was the same building. So... he used to tell the story that he got a phone call and he said, Vincent Taylor, he picked up the phone and they said, we're looking for Vincent Records. And he said, just a second. He put the phone down and then like, did he was walking away, picked up the phone. Yeah, Vincent Records. Listen, your song's on the radio. You have a hit song. And it was Yesterday's Kisses. And I went down to Nashville a few years ago. They have the archives. Lo and behold, there's the record and the Country Music Hall
of Fame. That is great.
So, a guy from Sicily, spoke no English, got a record in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
That is great and bizarre, all in one.
I know, it's strange.
Yes. And so, then Motown, he had a...
So, yeah, my grandfather, you know, these Italians, they come with nothing, and then immediately, all of a sudden, they were having money. And he was very well-to-do, knew how to save money. And he was really the only record label and producer in the Rockford area. So, because... Rockford's a great stopping point from Chicago and then on up to Wisconsin. Everybody would kind of stop here and in Rockford, I mean, to come on to Chicago. And it was early 70s, so funk music was really big.
Correct,
the whole
yes.
Motown thing was coming. And there was a lot of those guys in Rockford. So my grandfather started giving money to produce records for a lot of the funk and R&B artists. So... still to this day, I get calls, people trying to buy these records. It's just a big cult following. He did probably 7 or 8 groups that he funded and recorded.
That's great.
And so it kind of got the ear of Motown back in the day, and my grandfather became friends with Berry Gordy by chance.
Okay, now tell us the story family from Gary, Indiana, named the Jacksons.
So they knew each other, him and Berry Gordy, and... one day, my grandfather was at the tailor shop, and he was actually giving a guitar lesson. And the guy he was giving the guitar lesson to actually is still around. He's in Denver, a friend of ours. He saw us play in Denver last year when we were there. And he was there when the Jackson 5 showed up. My grandfather was giving him a guitar lesson. They came in with a demo tape.
So the whole family basically showed, and the father, the kids, I'm assuming, walked in?
My grandfather tells it as...
Big Joe, I believe?
Yeah, a very beat-up car. They were dressed not very well.
Sure.
Just poor family. Sure. Coming in. We got a demo. Can you please do something with this demo?
Now, did they go there because they had heard of Vince?
Yeah, they were going everywhere just trying to get a publisher to buy the song.
Okay, I see.
So what had ended up happening at this time was from 1968 to 72, everybody was coming to my grandfather. And he was losing money on all these funk R&B guys. He didn't know the industry. He was shelling out money, no money, right? So another group comes in, all these kids. My grandfather, they're like, you know, we're going to make it, we're going to make it. Yeah, that's the story I've heard from everybody. That's what he said. So he sent them off, kept the demo. I'm still to this day searching for that demo. But sent them off. Next day he got a call from Berry Gordy saying, they told me they came to see you. It's the Jackson 5. I need $2,000 and you can partner up with me to be on this record. And my grandfather, you know, to him, Berry Gordy, Motown owner, why does he need $2,000? if this is such a big group, why do you need my $2,000? And that probably was quite a
That's
bit
a legitimate point.
Yeah.
Why would Barry Gordy, if he really believed in that,
right.
maybe he wasn't so sure.
Right. Maybe he wasn't sure.
So however, so he had an offer. For $2,000, they have a certain percentage of the Jackson 5.
Yeah, on that.
And he
on that
said,
demo, he said no. He said
no.
A year later, my grandma went. Barry Gordy invited him to their house, his house up in Detroit or wherever. And they were sitting in the mansion for dinner, and Barry said, look what you passed up. And
well, it just shows you Vince was perfect until that story. He's a human being. He made a mistake. We all
know.
It's easy to look back.
I used to tell him
all
the time.
How would we know? How would he know? How would anybody know?
I tell him all the time, you know, I used to say, no. If you would have done it, who knows? You would have become rich. You would have moved to L.A. My parents would have never met. You would have never had
That's
me.
Very good point.
You never know.
Your lives never would have been the same.
No,
that's
never
for sure.
Been the same.
Because
so
he would
never
have made more money than you know what to do with, and sometimes the money is the ruination of everything. So,
but he used to bring it up all the time. He pissed me. He sorry.
Hey, that's okay.
passed up on a lot of opportunities. He got invited to the Merv Griffin show, turned it down because he was afraid of flying. He never flew. He drove
really?
Or took a bus everywhere.
Wow.
That was kind of, he regretted it. He never traveled anywhere.
You know what, though? Everybody has regrets. And everybody, you know, if I knew now
oh,
what
yeah,
I,
exactly.
if I knew then what I know now. So.
But he got closer than a lot of people, you know, and he did something that most people only dream of, is starting a record label in the 60s and 70s when record labels were a thing. Yeah.
So now tell me about that. So Vincent Records is still in existence.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's a, well, you tell me. It's
So he, you know, record labels aren't really a thing anymore. There's the big couple Capitol Records. All the big ones are still around, but it's not like the old days where everybody wanted a record label. So he left it to me and everything, all the publishing, all the copyrights, the record label. It's over 50 years old, probably the oldest record label in Rockford. I don't really treat it as a record label anymore because that days you can record right on your iPhone.
Yeah, things are different.
Yeah,
though, sure. But you still have it.
Still have it, and I've basically transformed it. You know, I've kind of taken my life in a total different direction, too. I'm going all into music on that side, where I'm turning Vincent Records into an entertainment company with promoting bands. So I'm starting a music venue in Rockford and bringing bigger acts to town. And
That's awesome.
And using Vincent Records as the name.
That's great.
Our first show is 2 weeks from Sunday, November
24th. Oh, that's great. That's great.
I'm bringing a couple big names to town. And so I'm still keeping it alive, keeping the name going. And there's some nostalgia there. People know Vincent Records.
And when you're on that stage, you thinking about him?
Yeah, it's very tough. He's seen me tear up sometimes, you know.
Do you give a little story?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
At the festivals mostly, you know. Like
Italian festivals?
In the restaurants, no one's listening. No one cares to listen. They're eating dinner. But
you're right.
But at the festivals, it's a whole thing. We tell the stories of how my grandfather progressed through his life with the songs.
That's
the first
wonderful.
Song he wrote and how it went along. And people love the stories. They really latch on to those songs.
That's great. So now, if you you do Italian festivals, you do Italian restaurants, what kind of songs do you do? Like,
so,
what's your act here?
You know, when I first met Frank, I sent him a Facebook message, and he did not want to play with me in the beginning because he thought we were going to do, like, Pinocchio music is what he called. He thought we were going to dress up, like, with the suspenders and, like, the red star.
Oh, like a real,
like
okay.
a real traditional Italian.
Sure.
Yeah, like doing that.
Sure.
And I told him, no, I don't want to do that. I really, my grandfather's getting sick. I want to do a tribute to him, do his music, but also do the songs he taught me. And so we did start, and in the beginning it was mostly my grandfather's stuff, and with like O Sole Mio and Speak Softly Love, all the traditional. And that's how we started, and you know, we used to still play bars. I still can't believe to this day we used to play like Kryptonite, which was a bar with like hard rock, and we'd play our
And you
stuff
played those
there.
Kind of songs.
But you know,
like what would your set be tonight at Carlucci?
We don't even know.
Yeah,
that's the one thing about us is we're like kind of spontaneous when we're playing. We never have a set list. We probably,
oh, is that right?
We probably know 500 songs, and I'll just look at him and say, what do you want to do
some
now?
Some of them we don't know. We kind of
figure, yeah, we figure them out. You know, what, 2 weeks ago at Carlucci, I said, Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood from the Animals and Santa Esmeralda back from the 70s.
Okay.
I
so
said,
you have a...
We just kind of throw it
sure.
in. So we're kind of all over the place. But when we do the festivals, we do the standards. You know, O Sole Mio and that, but with our own little spin. And so now we've kind of, in the past 3 years, called our genre, if you want to call it that, flamenco italiano. So
nice.
How Frank really started was that Nuevo flamenco stuff in the 90s when it got big, right?
Yeah.
With that flamenco style Latin guitar, Otmar Liebert.
Oh, stuff. That's great.
And so that's how I knew of him growing up. Everyone would talk about how great of a guitar player he was. And the Italian stuff is very close with the Latin. It's very similar. And so we started just kind of dabbling and meshing the two genres together with the fast flamenco stuff.
It came out good.
And it came out good.
That's great.
That's kind of what we do now. We do a lot of fast Italian music, if you want to call it that. Yeah. It's hard to describe, but it's hard to describe, but that's why we call it Flamenco Italiano.
Sounds good. And what the festivals you were mentioning, tell us some of the festivals that you perform at.
Probably most of them, yeah. 3 weeks ago we were in New York. We played at the Milwaukee Festa Italiana, the San Diego Festa Italiana, Pittsburgh this year we were in, all over, Chicago, Taylor Street.
That's great.
So, yeah, I think we've played most of the big ones.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Yeah, so. Okay. So tell us if somebody is interested, they want to see you perform, how do they do that?
So probably the best way is my name, VinceShirelli.com. That's got everything. Also Facebook, Vince Shirelli Band, Instagram. But the website's got everything, VinceShirelli.com.
C-H-I-A-R-E-L-L-I.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Sounds good. I will say this, your grandfather sounds like a heck of a guy. Just a real, I mean, just a shrewd businessman, but I, you know, just that when they built people with real substance, you know, just a hard worker with a big heart and a drive to succeed. And yet I'm sure it never went to his head, and he was just a even keel, nice man. And that's a wonderful thing you're doing with his legacy. And I applaud you for that. And
I appreciate it.
And please groom your children and keep our Italian America alive.
Yeah.
That's what I ask of. Yep. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for
the
interview. It was a pleasure. And we like to end our show with our two famous words now. Stay proud. Thank you all.
Marina, Marina, Marina. Del mio amore, cosa farò che il conquistar sul cuore? Il giorno l'ho contratto sola sola, il cuore mio batteva mille ora. Quando le disse che mi voleva amare, mi diede un bacio e l'amor spocciò. Non mi devi rovinare, oh no, 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 no. Mi sono innamorato di Marina, una ragazza mora ma carina. Ma lei non vuoi saperne del mio amore, cosa farò per conquistar sul cuore? Il giorno l'ho contratto sola sola, il cuore mio batteva mille ora. Quando le disse che me voleva amare, mi diede un bacio e l'amor spocciò. Marina, 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 io voglio più presto sposa. Marina, 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 io voglio più presto sposa. Oh mia bella mora, no, non mi lasciare, non mi devi rovinare. No, 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 oh mia bella mora, no, no, mi lasciare, non mi devi rovinare, oh no, 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 no. Thank you. no. Oh mia bella mora, no no mi lasciare, non mi devi rovinare. Oh no 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 no. Oh mia bella mora, no no mi lasciare, non mi devi rovinare. Oh no 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 no. Oh no 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 no. Oh no 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 no. Oh no 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 no.